thing. There's so many artistas in the Philippines. That's not their real name. There's so many. And even Hollywood, there's so many artists, but it's literally just for branding. Branding. Everybody's always putting up a persona, especially like showbiz, and it's like, this is who this person is. But that's not what they really are. You know what I mean?
You're listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refined Gentleman's Lifestyle Lounge, powered by Podcast Network Asia. In this episode, Noel sits down with Ethan Salvador. Together, they talked about his journey from Nevada to Manila, his journey as an actor, pursuing one's passion, and everything in between. This is All In.
So how's it going?
Good. You know, I just spent time with my other, like, I spend time with batches of family, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I'm close to certain parts of my family, but they're not close with each other. So it's usually like Saturday and Sundays, like family day. Mm-hmm. Throughout the week, I study, do my acting stuff, at least try, yeah, and stay
That's
home.
That's awesome. No, it's cool. Thanks for being on the show, on the podcast. It's exciting.
I'm excited. Yeah, for me, glad to be here.
No, it's been cool. I mean, we launched it, been hearing some really good feedback from people. And what I'm getting out of it is that, I don't know about you, but I guess you got to sense it when you worked at the bar area, but there's always great conversations to be had at the Refine. So I think this is my little fix to it. When I do interview somebody, chances are more times than not, they're a member. So it's just a continuation of the conversation I've had with them. You're one person I know I wanted to have a chat with, because of the whole, you know, the whole concept of All In is, you know, people that have gone all in their life, and not necessarily as an entrepreneur. It doesn't have to be entrepreneurial. It could be anybody that took a look at their life, their current life, and says, you know what, I'm going to be the author of my book, and I'm going to do it my way. And, you know, when people go all in, it's not like, hey, I decide to go all in, and then the next day it's perfect and life is amazing. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. You have plans and then you have to adjust, and something doesn't work out and you get let down and you pick yourself up. And again, that's the journey. That's the consistent journey for anybody who went all in, is that it's trials and tribulation. I think the only factor is having that mindset that I am going to go all in, that allows you to get over that rough patch, you know what I mean, that obstacle, where normally that obstacle would derail you for a yeah. while. But because you have this decision of, okay, I'm going all in, I'm the author, fuck it, I'm doing this, it's okay to hit the obstacles, and you know, you embrace the suck for the day or two, and then you go back at it. So yeah, I wanted to talk to you because your story is pretty, I really feel it's pretty interesting, but at the same time, it's pretty, I guess the word I want to use is typical for a lot of North American Filipinos coming to the Philippines to be either an actor, a model, whatever business. There's that mentality of, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, wow, this is going to be fun. It's going to be easy. I really didn't think how hard it was going to be, even though, you know, we're going through it now, but you can never prepare yourself. And I think a lot of it has to do is when you're coming from the States, you kind of have this, you know, we're better than a lot of people. Oh man, this is easy.
Yeah, we have this ridiculous culture of like entitlement, and I don't know what it is, but
and it's far from it. And I think all of every foreigner gets in a wake up call, because I can tell the new people that come in from, say, in from where I am, from Toronto, and wants to make a difference in the Philippines with their modeling or acting, there's that, you can tell, it's like, wow, you have no idea. This is going to be one of the hardest things you're going to go through. You know, like, you better be prepared. But they're like, no, man, I can do this. But yet you don't speak Tagalog. You don't, I'm like, really? You're going to, all right, let them do it. And it's so for you, it's interesting. And let's pretend that we don't know each other in a sense. I don't know your story because I do know it. Full transparency, but tell the listeners of, like, how did it all start from a kid from Nevada getting shipped to the Philippines to become actor slash model of Ethan Salvador.
Yeah. Well, it never crossed my mind at all. Like growing up, I was born in Las Vegas. I'm Filipino American, and when I was little, I was obsessed with movies and TV shows and whatnot. And it never crossed my mind to like go to the Philippines like at all. Like my knowledge of the Philippines is like cheesy dramas, and you know, it just never really crossed my mind. I'd go there for like, I've only been there maybe twice before I officially moved there, but it never crossed my mind. And then it wasn't until I was like 16 when I was offered an opportunity to go try it out, to which I said no.
How did they approach you at the mall, or was it a family friend? Like, how did they find you in like Nevada?
Oh, it was my dad. I was raised by a single mother. She was married twice. She's also Filipino. A lot of people think I'm half, and I just tell people that I am half, but I'm just severely mixed. A lot of people do like travel back to the Philippines are like just like me. I remember like when I first went to the Philippines, I was like, I'm different. I got my ambition, I got my goals set. And you sit in this room with like 80 other people that look just like you, the same exact hunger, just like you. And it really like puts things into perspective. And like, all right, I got to change how I see things and how I'm going to approach it. But anyway, yeah. My parents separated before I was born. And my dad was an actor in the Philippines. And I didn't know until I got a little bit older. Yeah. When I was like 5. Right. And you know, growing up, it's a very common thing. Like especially like in America, when you're like part Filipino and you're just, because you're light skinned, it's just the culture in the Philippines. It's like, oh, you should go to the Philippines and be artista, and it's so common. And that I was part of that, and I was just like, you know, don't yeah. do that. But I wanted to be in movies. I knew I wanted to do that for sure. And I was a little kid. I was obsessed with Steven Spielberg films, especially Back to the Future. I talked about that a lot with you. And then, so I grew up single mom, never met my dad. And then he shows up when I'm 16. He shoots me a message on Facebook. So I'm a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. And then he literally just was like, boom, Emilio Salvador added you on Facebook. And I was like, oh, that's my dad. It's from all the stories that I've heard growing up. And wow. I'm just like, you know,
shit.
Growing up with a single mom and a few shitty stepdads, it's kind of like you got to meet your dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you grow up without a father figure, and but all you hear are all these like stories about your dad, like, oh, he's not that great. He's very irresponsible. He doesn't care about you. You don't need to blah 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 blah. But he reached out to me. So, of course, being like 16 years old, I'm like, yeah, I want to see what this guy's about. And he messaged me, and it's straight up. It wasn't really like, hey, son, like, long time no see. I'm sure on his end, it's kind of awkward because he just peered out of nowhere. But it was like straight business. He was literally like, hey, you should join PBB. Come to the Philippines. Let's make money. Like, straight up. And I was like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, I was just like, nah. I'm good. I don't know what's a PBB. Fuck you, whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, my dad's very like passive with like a lot of things. Like he's very, very like shameless. He has no shame in whatever yeah. he does, yeah. which is meh and also admirable in a weird way. Like he'll stop at nothing to get what he wants, but it's like a double-edged sword. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, so I say no, and he's just very persistent. And at this point in my life, I was really taking it upon myself to get proper training. Because at first, it starts out as like, I want to be famous, and I want to go to Hollywood and make it big, and yada, yada, yada. But then there's like the actual, you need to be well-trained. You need to actually be good at it, and it's actually a skill that you can develop. And I never joined like theater growing up. You know, I just played a lot of 10, and like I was in like one or two plays in elementary school, but I took a couple of workshops here in Las Vegas, whatever I could do, and I was just training, and my dad was just so persistent getting me to go to the Philippines. I just kept saying no. I wanted to go to LA. I was saving up. And then I graduated
from high school. Which makes more sense because you're from Vegas, so it's pretty close to go to LA if you're going to be an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Why go to the Philippines? You know what I mean? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, why would that ever cross my mind? It's Hollywood is literally 4 hours away. I'm going to go to Hollywood. It's right there.
3 hours if you drive really, really fast.
Exactly.
Which all of us do.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah. So, except for that traffic, which is not as bad as Manila. Yeah. Everyone's like, "Oh, wait, traffic!" People have no idea.
No, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm 19 years old. I'm still in contact with my dad. I have a weird relationship.
So 3 years, 3 years has passed, and you're still in contact with your dad. And from 16 to 19, he's still trying to convince you to move to the Philippines to become an actor.
Yeah, he's still, just very he's trying to sell this like stardom dream and tell me about my acting heritage, and I'm just, what is this bullshit? What is that? Yeah. I was, I'm very, at the time I was like, what? No, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, apparently I'm part of like a Salvador acting clan thingy. Now it's pretty cool, but at the same time, I don't, it's weird.
What did your mom say about this whole thing? I mean, within this 3 years, like all this coming about of potentially going to the Philippines or your dad trying to convince you to move to the Philippines. What was her thoughts?
She was totally against it. Like most Filipino mothers would be, she didn't want me to do any arts, anything that would remotely resemble becoming like my dad. So when I was little and I said I wanted to be an actor, she's like, oh no, you're going to school.
What, to be what happened to be a nurse? To be a nurse or to be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or a priest?
Yep. You
which
know,
one this nurse. Which one which a nurse was
nurse. 100% nurse.
Nurse, exactly.
Anything else? Good benefits, all that,
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, that's not what I want.
Okay. So 3 years has passed by and obviously your dad super, super persistent. What was the turning point? What was the, okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do this.
It was half fresh out of, quit college. You're fresh out of like high school, pretty much. You're a 19-year-old kid. I took like a semester. I was working a job, and it was just kind of like a half. I want to meet my dad. Two, I really want to see what Philippines has to offer. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like literally a leap of faith of like you have no idea what could happen. Like why at first you're assuming that it's going to be like negative, it's going to be like a negative experience and there's nothing good in the Philippines and whatnot. And it's, you make that leap of faith and you decide on going all in and just saying, fuck it. Especially when you're young, especially when you're like 18, 19, or like, it doesn't even matter young or old. It's just like, go pick something to do and just go do it. And if it doesn't work out, then at least you tried. I didn't want to skip out on this opportunity because it was so persistent. What really intrigued me was like managers were actually hitting me up, like from the Philippines to like work with me. And I was very, you hear a lot of, when you're not in any kind of like entertainment industry, you hear all this like shady business things and like, be careful of like when people just come up to you and, hey, you like acting? You want to be in a movie? But no, they're offering me to fly me out. And they paid for my ticket. And I was just like, oh, they mean business. And they're like, here, listen to us, okay? You have a lot of potential. Because I used to post up like little scenes that I do on like Facebook. And I used to do like like martial arts and parkour, anything I can do to just like up the ante. And like, if I get an audition, it's like, I also can do this because I want to be an action star too. It'd be cool. And they're just like, hey, listen, we will pay for your ticket. Come here. We don't expect anything. It's up to you. We just want you to touch the waters. If you like it, let's work. If not, hey, at least we met you. But here's your ticket. Emailed me the ticket, and I was like, oh snap! It's just a 2-week ticket. Come visit, and then if you like it, get another ticket to come move in. We'll take care of you for a bit. If not, then just hey, thanks for coming. So I did the trip. This was before I officially moved. So it was like June of 2015. Mm-hmm. I come to Manila for my first time because I'm from Pampanga. You're from Pampanga too, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We might be related for all we know.
I know. That was like the biggest thing. Don't date a Filipino. You might be.
Oh, you related. Will be. Not might be. You will be related to that person.
Right. I know. It's a small Filipino world. But then, so I took my first flight there with so essentially the manager that flew me out was an old friend of my dad's, which is some like ABS executive's son, the Monteverdes, and then he's basically interested in like building me up and showing me the ropes of like Philippine showbiz. But I don't really care about all that. I really wanted to go to the Philippines to see like to get like actual what is it like to be on set. Can I do it there? Like what was it actually like to be like to work with the team and collaborate and create a story? It's like I've done like scene studies with like other partners in acting, but what would it be like to actually work with the director and a production staff and the actual like the whole shebang where there's like a writing staff and everything? And I was very fortunate to experience all that. But yeah, so that June I go there, test the waters, I'm meeting with Mr. Monteverde, and right there and then they offer me a contract and they kind of pressure me into this contract. And this is before I joined my current modeling agency, the Philippines, which is also their partner. And then I was young and they pressured me and I signed the contract for like a 5-year thing. But they offered a lot of, you know, like training, like they were feeding me on this whole I'm well connected and this and that and don't worry about nothing. So just come.
Do you think that played on your mind like a bit of overly confident in a sense of, well, you know, I mean, like you're already confident going into the Philippines because you're from the States and you're going to be a model / actor.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to, I was dealing, how do I explain it? I wanted to earn it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like the very beginning of it when all they kept talking about was connections and, which is very important in any like business, you know what I mean? That's like a piece of the pie, but they're talking about like the acting heritage and this and that, and your family's, you know, whatever. Just like, I just want to, if I'm good, I'm good. If I'm not good, then I want to train really hard and then earn a part, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to get into storytelling and be good at it, you know? And then, yeah, I mean,
how old were you when you moved here then? So now you've 19. Tested the waters a little bit, and then so you're 19, and then right away they kind of threw you in training and, you know, get you prepared. I'm assuming you went through the gauntlet of learning how to dance, how to sing, how to act, how to model, kind of training.
Yeah, I mean, they offered that. What they showed me was what looked yummy. Yeah. You know, they showed me a vision, but it wasn't really tangible because I signed the contract, flew back home, told my mom about it, had this whole like, hey, I'm gonna go on my little journey and test this thing out. This could be big, cry, yada, yada. So I moved there in September of 2015.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything for like 8 to 9 months.
When you like moved nothing here, happened. Nothing?
Nothing. No, just... no, I didn't. I stayed. So I met my dad for the first time, right? That was a big turning point in my life. So it's the very first time when I move in and, oh crap, this is my old man. We kind of look alike. That's crazy. So I spent some time with him for like, I lived with him and my half-sister's mother for 3 months. And my half-sister's mother is, she's very kind to me and she was very helpful in the beginning, just like, you know, housing, and she was helping me out a lot with like, because she also used to be in the industry like a long, long time ago. And I didn't know that. Like, he's very low key about her too. So, but I felt uncomfortable with the living situation and like just how my dad was in business, because he was kind of like, let me be your manager, because you know, I've been there, done. So it was this weird combination of like, I don't know who's actually managing me. It's very disorganized. We'd have all these meetings. Of course, it's like, first and foremost, your number one priority is to learn Tagalog. That's number one. Yeah. Number one. Anybody who's ever moved to the Philippines that doesn't know how to speak Tagalog or is from like North America, London, whatever, you know, you gotta learn Tagalog. Yeah. And at the very beginning, I was very like, full speed ahead, let's go do this thing. I took like Rosetta Stone.
You're pretty good. I think your confidence is not there, but I've heard you, and I think my staff, you know, the staff of the Refine, they've kind of talked to you, and it's actually really good. Like, your Tagalog is far more advanced than you think it is. It's just more of a
confidence. Now it is. It's back a lot then. Better than it used to be. Back then, it was just like couldn't give a shit. You know, when you start off on your journey, it's like that's when it starts, right? But you don't really anticipate the roller coaster that you're about to go through, and all these obstacles that really test your character and see if, like, are you going to stand back up and do it again? I mean, that's that lack of confidence the Tagalog was getting to me. Like, what, like a year ago?
But, I feel like, because obviously, again, I said full transparency. I know you really well. Like, we've had our conversations and I know the one thing is, again, that's why you're on the show, is that you have gone all in. Like, you, even though, you know, during this crisis, you went back home just for safety reasons. And, you know, again, you're on transitional mode. But I don't know, there's something from now, how you are now to the last time we really talked face to face, that was what, in February, March, kind of like before you left, before we had to close down the Refine for the quarantine. I feel two different people. I see two different people. That, not that you need, well, yeah, I think it's part of it is that you needed a reset. But even how you look, it's kind of funny that the real Ethan, and can I say, talk about your name though? Can I mention anything?
I don't care.
It's not your fucking name. So I feel like that's part of the fucking problem, because you are very, you know, your strength is when you are who you are, it shines. Like, you know that I'm, and it's going to be, because I don't ever call you Paolo, because I don't know you as Paolo. I know as you, Ethan. But even on the Zoom, I see your name. It says Paolo and your last name. I won't say it. I'm like, fuck, that should have been your fucking stage name. That should have been your name. Because I think the further the years went into it, the further you grew apart from who you really are, of who you, like the Paolo. It's kind of like, yeah, there's going to be people in showbiz that says, oh, you have to do this, you have this. But there's one person that told him to fuck off is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, they told him to fucking change his name. They told him, oh, you got to get rid of the accent. You're never going to become anybody. You can't. Oh, no, you can't do this. You know what I mean? Look at him now. Sylvester Stallone, another fucking person that, you know, wrote Rocky, and they tried to buy to him at $300,000. And even though he's dead broke, he sold his dog. he refused to sell it unless he's in it. Like, it's one of those things that these are all these rules. And if you're going to fail, I always say fail under your own terms. Like, I'm looking at you now, and with your name that was on the corner, that's the guy to be in the Philippines, making movies, acting in movies, writing scripts, all the shit that you said you wanted to do. And I'm sorry, it's a big finger to the people try to guide you. I'm not gonna speak too much about that. But for me, it's like this whole pause is a nice reset, because I'm looking at a different fucking guy. Like, this is not Ethan Salvador. This is Paulo. Like, this is, I think now you've had an opportunity to meet yourself again. Like, really meet yourself again. And that's a strength, man, because that was your weakness. Like, I've noticed it. Like, I know you really well, that when I talk to you, when people talk to you, there's a different tone and voice of Paulo. But when you put on, when you, even when you were working at the Refine as a bartender, you would greet people. I noticed that's not you. Like, it didn't even say, hi, welcome to the Refine. Like, that was your voice actually changed, and how you were acting, and it wasn't the Paulo.
I'm practicing.
No, I know. And that's the problem. You were trying to be Ethan. Like, now, I don't know, man. I'm sensing this fucking huge shift in you. Like, whenever you decide to come back to the Philippines, it should be coming back under your terms. Because you tried the other way. Like, how many years? 4 or 5 years? You tried it their way. Now do it your way. Like, do it the Paulo way. Like, the reason why they didn't say you use Paulo is because there was already Paulo Pasquale. And there's other Paulos in... What the? That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's stupid. I'm not in showbiz, but that's stupid. That's your name. You know what I mean? That's what, you know, your parents, that's what your mom calls you. And when you start hearing a different name here, of course you're going to be somebody different. But the strength of anybody who's gone all in is actually being themselves, being who they are. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I love Gary Vaynerchuk. Imagine somebody told him, hey, Gary Vaynerchuk, you got to change your name. No one can pronounce Vaynerchuk. You know, he's not going to listen to that.
Yeah.
I know about you, bro. Like, I know you're coming back to the Philippines. I know you're going to fucking go at it. Nothing's guaranteed. You're going to hit some stumbles, like, you know, whatever. But my opinion is, if you're going to hit those stumbles, if you're going to come back as Paulo. Reset your fucking career and become Paulo and your real last name. Again, up to you if you want to say it, but that's you. You're not Ethan Salvador. Sorry, but it's funny. We're going back to the conversations that we always have at the Refine. It always talk, and then this is what I think. This is my opinion. Again, you can take it away with, but you're like my little brother, and I see so much fucking great shit coming out of you. I've seen you work hard, but I also know when you put on the Ethan act and when you put the Paulo. And I feel like now, moving forward, I'm not calling you Ethan. I'm going to call you Paulo. Like, you're not Ethan Salvador. That guy left. Yeah. That guy's gone. That guy, sorry, he got coronavirus and died. You know what I mean? You're Paulo, man. I'm sorry, but it is. Look, you got the beard going on, which is kind of Keanu Reeves-ish kind of thing. But if you're going to fail under your own terms. Don't fail under somebody else controlling you. That's the whole thing. Is you're the author of your book. Don't have a ghostwriter, right? Like, that's why I'm always you're one of your biggest fans, man. Because I'm like, I see you about to do it, and then something holds you back, and it's because you have different personalities that they've kind of said you have to have. If anything, they told you there's no more Paulo, it's now Ethan. I'm like, no, man. That's my take on this, man. But
yeah,
sorry for digressing on that one, but that's
No.
This is what I felt like when I saw, as soon as I saw you, and I haven't seen you since you left. Mm-hmm. And we've talked yesterday very shortly, but this is the first time we've actually had our regular conversations like we used to do at the Refine. And
yeah.
it makes sense now. Like, if, oh my, I didn't, because I've never told you this. I never had this epiphany. This is the first time I'm ever saying it. Now, looking at you in Zoom, seeing your real name on the corner of Zoom in the screen, it all makes fucking sense to me. And I'm excited. I'm so excited for Paolo to come back with a vengeance, right?
No.
Now you can't. Now you can't blame your dad. You can't blame the fucking managers who, you know, showbiz managers. You, the only person you now can blame is Paolo.
Yeah.
So now you have responsibilities, and you've taken ownership. Now take that ownership, man. That's exciting. Imagine you go into castings with that beard, and who cares? Right, your own, you know what I mean? It's oh man, I'm super, like right now, it's like I've taken a different, like my mood has changed a little bit. It's like the attitude is like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Again, if you don't decide to come back to the Philippines, that's one thing. This is, again, you're the author. But that's how I see it, man. This is what I'm seeing about Paolo and the new Paolo, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective, man. Yeah, I mean, with the whole name change in the beginning, I just kind of grew into it. The personality thing, I don't know if that's completely true, but I mean, it's like what's it called? I don't know. It was like a, you know, the showbiz thing. There's so many artistas and
that's out there.
There really is so many. And even Hollywood, there's so many artists, but it's literally just for branding. It's just like, in the old days, it was also a way just to keep your private life private. You know what I mean? Because like everybody's always putting up a persona, especially like showbiz. And it's like, this is who this person is. But that's not what they really are.
Yeah, it's like Katy. It's like Katy Perry. Her real name is Kate Hudson, but there's already a Kate Hudson. So I understand why that changed, because it's two Kate Hudsons. But your last name is so different. I've never even heard your last. I've never even knew you. That was your last name.
Yeah, that's my mom's last name.
Your mom's, right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the whole name change was just to give me a little bit of leverage in the beginning, which, I mean, it did give me leverage. Like, I really don't know where I would be, because, like, you know, when you play a certain game, the game in the Philippines is completely different from the game in the US or the game in the UK or Australia. It's just like a different hand in a game of poker, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I was playing that hand, and I tried it, and like, you know, I did the best that I could with those cards, and it served me well, but I don't think I was progressing. That was the biggest thing that I was like hurtling with for like the longest time, for like the last maybe 2 years, is what I felt like when you met, all the talks that we've had, I was just kind of dealing with this whole like, man, like, what do I want to do? Because it's like, you follow the rules, but it's not really in your favor. You know what I mean? I didn't really feel like I was progressing.
Yeah.
To the, yeah.
Yeah. And, no, totally. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, it's like business, you know, if everyone obviously plays somewhat of this, they know the rules, but I always say you got to know the rules before you can break them, kind of thing. So if you can know the rules, break them for a certain reason. But I also think that when everyone's zigging, you should be zagging in business. Right. So this is obviously your career. This is a business. So if everyone's following the same thing, there's, you know, you should be zagging, right? Doing something different. If everyone's coming in baby faced, then you come in non baby faced. Like you stand out in the crowd, you know. Again, might not get it, but again, I don't know, man. I always feel like things like that leads you to where you're supposed to be. You just don't know it yet. You don't know where you're supposed to be. And then it hits you in the face, and it's like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I feel like that's this whole thing that's happening to you in the last 2 years in the Philippines. This is all the plan. This is all part of the plan. You know what I mean? This is, oh yeah, man. It's, you can see it unfolding, right? And it's a question of what you do with it. And yeah, like you said, you know, your time in Nevada, you've been, you know, practicing and, you know, perfecting the craft and working on that.
Which is so hard to do, like, without a coach. Like, just like being in a room, it makes you go mad, man. So I'm always taking walks and stuff. But,
so do you, yeah. You guys don't have like group of other actors that do Zoom? And I mean, I would think that that would be a perfect opportunity to get everyone on Zoom or some sort of like, you know, video conferencing to do like scripts and practice.
It's like, it's different if you're doing like voice acting, you know what I mean? Cause with like acting, it's such a human thing. You know, when you put a camera on, like people watch these stories to watch relationships unfold. Right. That's like the whole thing of acting. So when you just do it like on here, it's just, it's so hard to see the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard to really like practice the nuances or like the type of philosophy that you're going for. Like, could I do this a little bit different? It's just different. You know, it's a lot better to do it like person to person. It's difficult, but you can do monologues. So I've been trying to do.
Yeah. It's just, I think that, just, yeah. That was fun when you were, we were practicing a monologue, like
script. You had fun, right?
That was so much fun. That was fun.
Like, when
it was awkward in the beginning, obviously, for me. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then kind of just went. So again, try something once, it's fine. You know, I never wanted to be an actor or anything like that. So it was kind of like more fun that how I was actually waiting for your response and how you would say the line in the script. I was just kind of saying it. So that being said, like you were saying that, you know, it's more authentic, but is that changing now, especially with TikTok? Like TikTok is, I don't get TikTok. I'm old. I've been looking at it. Amy's on it. She's doing it. She's really good at it, but I can't get into it. I can't. She's always asked me every day and I've always said, okay, tomorrow to do a TikTok with them. I'm like, all right, tomorrow I'll do it. But that you know, I have come across some people's like, wow, they're really talented, man. Like that's insane. I think it's just the beginning stages of this whole TikTok. Cause right now it's, you know, doing, you know, a certain dance and, you know, playing pranks, whatever. But I think now more, we're going to see is people doing some sort of monologue, like, you know, how they dub the, like a real, you know, monologue and they just act to it. I think that's going to be taken to the next level. I don't know why. And people are going to be, you never know where these apps, they create these apps, but it's up to the people using it to dictate where it's going. So yeah, I'm actually surprised you haven't, I haven't seen you on it. I haven't seen, because you're so good at social media.
I'm on it.
Oh, I guess I just don't follow you. Yeah. I should start following you. Because you're really good. Like I remember your Instagram stories were freaking crazy. They were funny. Very creative.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I'm still figuring out the app too. I'm like, there's so much going on. I just want to focus on one thing at a time. You get jumbled up with stuff and like, feel like it's really more on like attention span.
it's definitely a time killer too, but it's also people are going all out on it. Like I've seen people like, they must spend half a day just to do one scene.
Yeah, you see the potential and like what they're doing to people's lives. Like,
look at that girl, Charlie Amelio, whatever her name is. She has like 8 million followers. Exactly. She was getting interviewed by Gary Vaynerchuk and she was saying she was doing it and, you know, not a lot of hits. And then suddenly one dance got him 200,000 likes. It's like, what the hell? And then she did it again. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know why she made it, like she got so much attention. She just did. Like, you know, I mean, that wasn't her thing. She's a dancer by like professional or whatever she was studying. So she would just dance on TikTok, but that was it. And it's kind of crazy how she blew up 8 million.
If it's anything that I learned from like people that I admire on social media or just like colleagues of mine that have really like, I rocketed, it was because they literally just did what they loved and expect anything of it. Like they expect nothing but just put 100% in loved. And they didn't
100%.
Yeah. Like they weren't about getting this, they just genuinely what they did, and they just want to share it with people. You know what I mean? And then that's you hear those stories like her. David Dobrik. I don't know if you're familiar with that guy.
No.
Yeah, but he's like a famous vlogger, but like he's very genuine and everything. It's just like a whole bunch, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just another media channel to get your voice out, to express yourself or to share content. Like you know, from Twitter to Instagram, all these channels, you should know it. As a business person, get on it and use it. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's really is. And you're right, 100%. It's the ones that really stand out are the ones who don't give a fuck. They're just doing it. It just happens to, wow, now they're garnering a lot of attention and a lot of sponsors are going to them and that's where the money is made. And then you become a quote unquote influencer. You know what I mean? So yeah, like, I mean, for you, it's just, that was always, and I remember you were using Instagram stories to, not necessarily for, I don't even think content. It was more to get that creative juices out. So like to practice, you know, to kind of strengthen your creative juices, to flex it. Right. Cause that's, in the end what you want. That's, you want to be a director, writer, movie creator, you know, movie maker.
Yeah.
Right.
It's get feedback right away with anything or just document.
So that being said, now, and again, what, during this crisis and during the pandemic and, you know, staying at home, you know, what's next for Paolo? Like, what's moving forward? Like, what are you doing? To have you thought that far, or are you just like, you know what, taking day by day, who gives a shit? Like, wherever it takes me, it's gonna take me, but for now I'm just living life and taking this time to kind of learn shit and practice.
I've gotten into a lot of troubles of looking way too far into the future and being like, I'm gonna get it. I'd rather pick little things that you can do, like actionable little habits you can do daily, and just focus on those and let it build. Like, that's something that I'm practicing, and I've got more benefits, so you don't get like all this in like about the future and like this, your dreams and all that stuff. My dream is to be an actor and get into film and like be a part of like a whole bunch of, you know, story and whatnot. But you got to work things little by little. Right now I'm focusing on just enjoying my time with my family. When things open up, just start saving up some money. Yeah,
because right now everything's still on lockdown. Well, the States is reopening, so we'll see how that goes. It's kind of crazy. Like Nevada, obviously they were in the news because of your mayor. But the governor shut that shit down. But yes. I don't know, man. I'm seeing a swell of more people fighting back or trying to. And again, I understand the pressures of it right now. I totally understand. I can relate to both sides as a business owner, you know. So there's no right or wrong. It's getting crazy, man. Like, it's like people are in the States. I was just watching an article. I was reading an article, showed a video of Newport Beach. It's open, but it's packed.
Yeah. Well, people do not give a shit.
It's not, I don't think it's a give a shit. I think it's human nature to be to be social and to get out and to live life and, you know, breathe the air. Like, it just, it takes its toll. And you know, there's that study that, staying at home, you know, it also creates mental instability, right? So people are, before they lose it, they're going out and trying to save themselves. I can't even imagine what the stats are for, you know, suicide. You know, I heard the domestic violence is up. It gets crazy when you're locked up, right? So yeah. I can understand it. I don't agree with the way they're doing it. Like, some people with guns.
Nothing wrong with going out, fresh air and whatnot. Just you know, maintain the social distancing stuff. But you see people just crowding up in like hordes. Like, here the rule is like more than 10 people. But people are.
Oh, because it's a crowd mentality, right? So yeah. If everyone is doing one thing, the majority of people are going to follow that crowd. and no one's social distancing, they're looking towards someone else. Oh, okay, I guess it's okay. So
I think it is. It's like people are to care because literally just this, it's like the COVID running rampant, and then like date. Oh, UFOs are real. Pentagon just released. There's one near Nevada because, you know, Area 51 is like, oh, cool. Next, it's like, uh-oh, murderous bees have just entered North America, and they're very, very, they're vicious, whatever. And people are like, all right, I've had enough. If I'm going to die, I'm gonna go out. And that's how a lot of people are seeing. It's like,
it's also
whatever.
Because the media, there's nothing else to write about right now. In the beginning, there's a lot. But now everyone's hearing the same thing. No one's clicking as much to anything that has to do with cases. And now they got to come up with new stuff.
It's funny because I this is opinion, but like, you know, they're running with these heinous stories because they're losing the media game to like independent media, like YouTube, and like the freedom to create their own things. And like, there's been such a distrust with like mainstream media for like the longest time. And now this is their time to like grab all the eyeballs back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a weird times, but like,
it's weird times, but it's also, here's you had 2 months to kind of reset and okay, plan out what's next. You know what I mean? Like I said, you can always take the first couple of days, 3 days to embrace the suck of the quarantine. But after that, you have a choice. You can sit on the couch and watch Netflix and do nothing, or adapt to it and start taking this time, which, trust me, when you're busy doing things, when it was, you know, normal life, you always put it aside because you were so busy. But now it's like, all right, you have no choice, but now plan it out. So now plan it out.
You have a lot of time.
You have a lot of time. Everyone has a lot of time to really adapt to what's going on and figure out, okay, what's next? What's my next move? And really, and you know, I know for me, that's what I've been doing. I've been keeping busy with a lot of stuff.
By the way, how's the, if you don't mind me asking, vacation coming along with the new refine?
Oh, still no, I mean, obviously there's going to be change. We've already come up with a post quarantine protocol. How are we going to handle that? So for when we reopen, and also for the next, you know, the next location, really preparing for that and really being responsible of, you know, what's in front of us and what, everything's changed, right? So we're, like I said, we're adapting to it, and I'm confident that our adaptation plan, so to speak, is good and it's solid to prepare us for the first year or two during this. And then we can still have like room to kind of grow and, you know, go where it's going. Again, a lot of it has to do is just adapting to the new norm and being responsible. Like, obviously the new plan has, you know, the plan from before has to change. Like, not because it wasn't good.
We have no choice.
We have no choice, right? So we have to adapt to it. So yeah, we definitely have those plans. We're going to be announcing that pretty soon. We're just finalizing a lot of stuff of the next plan. Of even the reopening, we have a plan of how we're going to do it. That's first and foremost, the safety of our staff and the safety of our members. That's number one. And if there was any chances that this was a bad move, we have no problems to not reopen if it's going to affect it. But I feel like we have things, you know, kind of the protocols we set out, it's going to protect both sides. And that way we can still continue what we're doing, obviously modified. But yeah, I mean, we were thinking that the first 2 weeks of the quarantine. So now we were just kind of waiting for the government to announce the GCQ, which, my gut, it's not going to happen, because unless they're really, they have no other choice, but there's new cases every day, close to, you know, rising up to between 200 to 300 every day, new cases. So, and that's even with improper testing. So those are not.
Yeah. How's the testing situation in the Philippines? Are they like widely available, or?
I don't know about other parts of the Philippines, but I know BGC, there's a drive-through testing that you can go to. It's a question of who's going to go test it, right? Who's going to do it if they're going to do it. But I mean, like, it's still, there's like how many people in this country, it's going to be hard to get testing.
Is it the same swab thing up the nose?
I don't know. I don't know. I know there's another one now. It's a blood one, and it takes 5 minutes. A blood prick. Mm. It's kind of like a diabetes check. That's what I heard. There's that too. But there's also obviously the nose one, which I don't think anybody wants to do. So it's in everyone's best interest or the government's best interest to come up with another that's easier for people. And that way they can get proper numbers. But again, you know, we have to learn from other countries, Asian countries that reopened and closed again. We really have to look at our numbers. And but I totally understand, man. Like business, a lot of business are closing down permanently, unfortunately. And it sucks, man. I wish the government can help even more, and not even just the government, all of us can help each other out and the businesses. And hopefully when it does go back to, you know, reopen fully, that people start continue spending and helping the businesses, small, medium, large, whatever, and try to jumpstart the economy again. So we'll see how that goes. But again, it's a day by day. And that's one thing I was saying, that this quarantine is a metaphor for life. You can't plan too far ahead. There's no point because you don't know what's going to happen the next day. So you should have some goals set out, but day by day, you have to prepare for what the next day brings and adapt to it. Plan it that you can, I can control what's happening. So I think
just focus on what's right in front of you pretty much. It's like, just focus on that. Tomorrow's going to come, deal with it tomorrow. But right now, what do you do?
Yeah. And remember we talked about it. It's just being ready. So we don't know when it's going to happen, but every day you have an opportunity to be better. So when the time comes, you're ready for it to do it. So these days, that's all we're doing. And that's what I'm doing is just preparing myself and being ready when it does hit, when they open up fully. So yeah, there's definitely plans. And trust, I saw a video today on Facebook, one of our friends that shared that she was at the Refine, and it was, wow. I'll share it with you because you're in it. And she was taking a tour around the Refine, and it's like, oh my God, I missed that place so much. And I know a lot of people, I've gotten messages, direct messages, that people miss the Refine, obviously the haircuts, but even just hanging out. Like those little things that we take for granted, I think, is now, you know, wow, I missed that a lot. And so when I saw that video, I'm like, oh.
What, is it just at the Fort Strip or like the actual someone went inside?
No, at the Fort Strip. It was during, she was visiting at the time. She was from Toronto, Cher. And you know her, she met you and you're in the video. And she was just doing a tour around the Refine. And she posted it just now.
Okay.
So I'll share that video on Facebook to you. And she wants to share it with you, but she didn't have you on Facebook, so I'll share it to you.
Yeah, she just added me. So I was like, cool.
Yeah, it was really, it was nice seeing it again. Again, it's the small things that you take for granted. It's like, wow, like a simple hug, you know what I mean? Would be, you know, like just, it. Those are the things that I miss. So,
yeah,
you know, but we have to
a handshake for crying out loud. Just can't do that anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, like I said, we're going to get there. We just have to do this right and really take it step by step. But watching that video was like, wow. So, I mean, man, like this is crazy, all these crazy times. But, you know, I love these conversations with you. I mean, we've had so many.
Many. And so many.
So many. And I know we'll have more. And I just always believe that, you know, people who are listening to this podcast, they also have to hear, you know, things that, you know, when you go all in, you're going to hit some stumbles and obstacles. It's just how you deal with it. Just like how you're doing, how we're doing. But I want them to know that it's not, I always say this, it's not sunshines and unicorns. As soon as you make that decision, it's just, you need to work it out every single day, just like you are, like you've hit this stumble, but now I know, like I'm even more confident now. You're going to come back with a vengeance and because you've got the reset, you've got to hang out with your family that I know you miss so much, because that was part of the sacrifice. Being in the Philippines is sacrificing your mom and the family. Like I sacrificed my two kids. I missed them dearly in my family. But that's the sacrifice when you go all in that you have to make. So I understand that, but I can see you're ready to go. Right. So, but yeah, man, we'll catch up again, obviously off Zoom, hear some more stuff and see how you're doing. Cause I'm super interested always what's going on with Paulo. See how I call you, Paulo?
Yeah. weird now.
It is weird, but I'm gonna continue doing it because it's just like, that's who you are, man. I want to know the real Paulo, not the name that they gave you. So yeah, that's just
I'm the same person.
No, I can argue that there's times that you're not. Like, you are, you have to be Ethan Salvador. I get it.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. That's for other people. That's not for me. So
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, keep on going, you know, doing what you're doing. Like I see a change in you from the first, like when I called you, when I found out you left Manila to where you are now. I'm so happy. Like, honestly, I'm so happy that you're there and you're resetting.
Yeah.
Cause I know what you've been through. We won't get into that. That's just part of the struggle and the obstacles. But before you left, there was a lot of personal shit that you went through. I don't think this is the place to share it, but it did happen. And
yeah, I'm seeing
a big bounce back, and I love it. And that's life. That's life. And you're handling it very, 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 very well.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I mean, the classic cliche that I still follow is just time heals all wounds. It's just a matter of time. And then, like, your attitude towards stuff and what are you going to do about it moving forward? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't also, dwell on... and learning from it. And it's also learning from it.
Yeah, of course. You can't just accept it and then do it again. I mean?
Yeah. No, it's good, man. So, yeah, go do your thing. I'm gonna today. It's what time is it now? 1 o'clock in the Philippines. Yeah, man.
Is there any one? That went by fast.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. I'm eager. Again, I said this in another episode. I love doing this before I get to work because it motivates me that I'm not alone in this grind. Like this sacrifice and this journey to go all in. There's times I'm just exhausted. But then when I talk to someone like you and the people I've talked to so far, it's like better than coffee, right? So I'm excited to start the day and hearing your story again, it motivates me. And it also motivates me that you're on the bounce back, you know? And again, it was hard at the time, but now you've flattened the curve in your life and now you're on the other side, which is exciting, bro.
Yeah, bro, we're all in this together.
All right, man. Every
single one of us.
All right. Say hi to your mom and we'll talk. I'll give you a shout this week, bro.
All right. We'll do, man. Just keep me updated. And yeah, let's talk soon.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refine, a gentleman's lifestyle experience. Visit therefinedlounge.com for more details.